Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, Westerns. Later on, we hear James Stewart as Britt Ponsett, the Six Shooter. Right now, it's John Daner as J.B. Kendall, the Frontier Gentleman, a reporter from England in the Old West, from October 5th, 1958, a CBS broadcast called The Librarian.
Last week, I reported an incident involving a gold mining claim. This is the story of an altogether different type of claim.
Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith, an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. In just a moment, we will bring you this latest report from the Frontier Gentleman. Like a season ticket to the ballpark, CBS News admits you to every major event going on. Regular features like our World News Roundup, broadcast 7 mornings a week on most of these same stations, make you spectator to the most spectacular events of our time. They take you right to where the news is happening, let you learn the details from experts who've watched the news develop. Every morning on CBS Radio, join CBS News correspondents on the World News Roundup for reports from the major news centers of the world. Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
On the western shore of the Missouri River in Dakota Territory is a town called Fort Pierre. Across the river, a tiny wood frame extension of Fort Pierre, called simply Pierre. But it is here that the United States government has established a land office, and it was here that I journeyed in search of a story on homesteaders. The land office was closed, but a local citizen told me I might find homesteaders some 25 miles east of there. Instead, there was only desolation. And I was turning my horse for the trip back to Pierre when the afternoon air was shattered by an exchange of gunshots. Riding towards a puff of smoke that rose from a dry wash some distance away, I found a woman who appeared to be in her middle 30s busily firing a rifle at a shack that stood some 100 yards beyond me.
Come out of that cabin with your hands in the air while you can still walk.
Ooh. You need help.
Don't come any closer, mister.
I'm not going to harm you.
I said, don't come any closer, I'll shoot.
Well, I'm sure you would, but you'd be making a mistake.
Are you with him?
I assume you're talking about the party you're shooting at in the cabin? No, I assure you I'm not with him.
It's a trick. You're on his side.
No, I happened to be in the area, heard the gunshots, and came over to investigate.
You sure?
I'm sure. You convinced?
Almost got you, didn't he? Better keep that long neck of yours down. But I'm not taking this rifle off you till I know who you are. What's your name?
J.B. Kendall.
What are you doing around here?
I'm a writer.
Mister, do you think I'm just fooling with you?
No, not at all. I am a writer. I write for the London Times. I'm a correspondent.
No, you don't. Keep your hands where I can see them.
Miss, please believe me. If I could be of help, I want to, but a shotgun interrogation is hardly to my liking. Do you want to tell me what this is all about?
I don't trust you. I'm not used to this kind of thing. People out here.
Something tells me Dakota Territory is a good deal west of your home.
My husband died in Massachusetts. I've just come from there.
I'm sorry. You haven't told me your name.
This is James Danworthy, Elmira Danworthy.
Mrs. Danworthy, what are you doing out here, besides trying to kill somebody?
Not a joking matter, Mr. Kendall.
No, I didn't.
My husband and I came west almost a year ago. We'd seen one of those advertisements in the eastern papers. They're cheats. advertising towns in the West that don't even exist.
Yes, I've heard of that.
It took all our money, which wasn't much. He'd been a soldier 4 years of war and several years after, and I was a librarian in Boston. I was 30 when I married him. I'd waited a long time for him to get his fill of the army. Then we came west, and nothing worked out. We'd paid for a house and lot in a town that didn't even exist. That was in Kansas.
Well, how did you happen to come to Dakota?
We wanted to get out of Kansas. We heard about this homestead land here. Kind of dry sometimes, but we liked it. I guess because we could have it. We preempted it right away and...
Preempted? What?
If you're 21, a citizen, haven't borne arms against the United States, you can have 160 acres.
And you've got 160 acres?
If I'm living there a week from now, I have.
Oh? What do you mean?
You get 6 months to prove up on your land. When Jim took sick, we had 3 months more to go. I took him back to Massachusetts, but it was too late. He died there.
Now you're back and somebody has moved in on your claim, is that it?
Yes. I have to be living here or I lose it.
I see. Well, do you know who the man is?
No. I just got here today. He chased me away. Said it was his place.
Have you talked to him?
No.
Just shooting at him?
Yes. He came out several times, but I couldn't hit him. I'd kill him if I could. Jim and I worked hard for this.
Why did you come back?
It was to be our home. Now, it was mine.
It's still yours.
What are you going to do?
Well, first take that rifle.
You're with him. You are.
No.
It's been a trick the whole time. All of this.
No, no. Now listen to me. I'm going up and talk to him. Get down. Look out.
You're not fooling me. He's just doing that. Trying to make me think he's shooting at you. You're together, stealing my land. Give me that rifle.
Now, you...
I'll kill you for tricking me.
Wait. I'm going up there. I'll talk to him. Don't shoot. Don't shoot.
I'll kill you.
Toward the cabin. At any moment, I expected gunfire, but nothing happened. I was such an obvious target that my hidden adversary must have been curious as to my intent. It was with a feeling of relief that I finally confronted this stranger in the cabin, a young man, but haggard and hungry-looking. He stood in the doorway and waggled a long rifle barrel at me.
I got me a brave Yankee. Just dying to walk right down this squirrel gun. All right, stop in your tracks, Yankee. You move that rifle of yours 1 inch, I'll blow your innards out.
I have no quarrel with you.
Hoo-wee, why, that ain't even a Yankee. Throw down that rifle.
No. I came to talk, not give up my gun. I told you, I have no quarrel with you.
I can shoot you down right now.
You could. And you'd never know what I have to say.
Mister, you got a lot of nerve walking up here.
No more than you have, taking over the lady's claim.
That's what you want to say? You come here to say that?
I'm asking you to leave.
You got any shuck on you?
Shuck?
Cigarette makings. You got any?
Yes.
Hand them over.
Is that an order or a request?
I'm telling you.
Did it occur to you that I may not like to take orders? That my rifle is covering you at this point?
Mister, I've had every rifle in the Yankee Army on me one time or another. It don't make no due to me. Now give me the makings, if you can spare.
All right. Here, catch. You're pretty shaky, aren't you? You been ill?
No. No, I ain't sick. The war left me that. Who's that lady? Your wife?
No, just a friend.
You better tell her to leave me alone. I could kill her easy, but I assume not.
Look, you seem like a decent sort. Why don't you saddle up and ride on? This lady is a widow. She and her husband built this place.
Mister, now you get this and you get it straight. I spent 4 years sharpening my eye on Yankees during the war. Now it's over and we're all supposed to be friends again. But it don't work that way, see? Now, I've had a saddle thrown on me in every town west of the Mississippi and north of Arkansas. I got a hole in my neck to chase the plow. But the Yankees won't let me have no land legal-like. So I found this one and I'm taking it. You hear me?
Then you'd rather steal this land from a widow.
Yankees the best widowmakers I know, mister.
The war is over.
Is it? Not in my... Go on. Leave me be. Go on, get out of here.
You are sick, aren't you?
Leave me be, I said. Now get. Next time you come back, I'll kill you.
I never expected you to come back.
Did you really think I was in partnership to steal your property?
I don't know. I saw you talking to him. I thought...
I understand.
Who is he?
War-sick Confederate soldier.
Can we get him out?
And I don't want to shoot him. He's had enough of that. Now we'll go to the land office and peer. They'll see you get it back legally.
Folks.
Good morning. I'm Mr. Kendall, and this
now, is... Now, don't tell me, don't tell me. This is the charming Mrs. Kendall.
No, this is Mrs. Danworthy.
Mrs. Danworthy. Bartley Quill, United States land agent par excellence, your humble servant, madam.
Yes. How do you do, Mr. Quill?
Now, you folks are desirous of locating a nice homestead in the area, is that correct?
No, Mr. Quill.
It will cost you 50 cents. I shall have my assistant, Mr. Todd, bring forward the necessary papers. If you can't read, I'll help you. Mr. Todd?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Quill, please listen.
Your servant, sir.
Yes, sir.
Well, then?
Yes, well, Mrs. Danworthy and her late husband already have a homestead claim some 25 miles east of here.
Oh, a widow. Madam, I am sorry. Mr. Todd, never mind.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Kendall, maybe I'd better work this out my own way.
Work what out, madam?
There's a claim jumper on my property.
Claim jumper? Do you mean some foul citizen has moved onto your land?
Worse, into the cabin. He's taken it over.
And you want him out, of course.
Of course. We thought maybe you could advise
him. No. As government land agent, I am not allowed to advise in these matters.
Oh, I see.
What you need is a land attorney, a person familiar with the law. I guess not only familiar with it, but conversant and persuasive.
Well, may I ask, are you allowed to recommend such a person?
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Madam, your worries are over.
The land attorney, Mr. Quill, you were about...
Fortunately, sir, there is one in these parts, but only one.
His name?
Bartley Wilkinson Quill, attorney at law, Yale 54.
Yes, of course, I should have known. All right, what can you do?
In time, good sir, in time. Mr. Todd, bring me my book covering claim jumpers.
What? I don't understand. There's no book written...
Oh, Todd! Pardon, sir, for the stupidity of my assistant. Stupidity is the problem these days, all phases of government.
Well, now, I wouldn't...
You found it, of course, Todd.
Yes, sir. Is this it?
Mr. Quill, I... Mrs. Danworthy hardly has the time for such legal work as you apparently intend to do.
But a matter of weeks, Kendall. Have him out in no time.
Yes, that's just it.
What is?
She has less than a week in which to be living on her land. No, it has to be done quickly, now.
A widow, you say? Yes. Now, madam, there will doubtless be many legal affairs of another nature to be taken care of. Wills, estate settlements, affairs in the East, perchance.
Mr. Quill, it is not necessary to hang your shingle on Mrs. Dunworthy's doorstep.
Nor should one hide under a bushel, my dear sir.
Not a chance, Mr. Quill.
Sir?
Thank you, Mr. Quill. You've been most entertaining, but the lady needs more instantaneous help.
Do I detect a reflection
detect
of...
what you will. Good day.
Just a moment, sir. I perceive that this is a matter for the sheriff.
You?
Your servant, sir. I'll get up a posse. Isn't that proper? A posse, Mr. Kendall. And we'll go hang the man.
Not knowing how long Mr. Quill would take to organize his posse, I insisted Mrs. Dunworthy engage a hotel room to rest. Then I went out and watched the tiny town of Pier come alive with excitement as Mr. Quill spread the word that help was needed. By noon, 20 men with horses were lounging about the land office waiting for Mr. Quill, whom I knew to be inside with his books, looking up the proper procedure for handling a posse. I felt it was a good opportunity for me to tell the men my feelings in regard to the man in the cabin. Least of all, did I want him hanged. Gentlemen, your attention, please. Thank you. Gentlemen, as you may or may not know, I am Mr. Kendall. It was I who brought Mrs. Dunworthy to town for help.
Oh, she. We don't know nothing about this, just that the old man needed a posse.
Oh, I see. Well, some of you may remember Mrs. Dunworthy.
No, I don't.
She and her husband homesteaded 25 miles from here. They took a trip back east and her husband died. Now she's come back to find a claim jumper on her place.
We know how to take care of them.
No, please. That's exactly what we don't want. Now, I've talked to this man. He is dangerous in his present frame of mind. And I suggest that we proceed with caution, but I also insist that we do not kill the man. I've heard that you sometimes let claim jumpers swim across the river. Is that right?
Yeah, funny thing, though. Ain't no record of one of them ever reach another side, is it, boys?
Now, just a moment. I'm not suggesting that either.
Well, what do you want us to do with him? Kiss him and put him to bed?
If you'll just... Gentlemen, please. Please, gentlemen, if you'll just help me to catch him without harm. Now, what he's doing isn't fair to Mrs. Dunworthy, and he must be removed, but killing him is not the answer.
Well, I don't know how you're going to get rid of him otherwise.
Yes. There you are, boys.
Hi, Quill.
Well, everybody ready?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I've been reading up on it, boys. I found out one thing.
Yeah, what's that, Quill?
It's no good without a rope.
Yeah!
It was after the men had ridden out of town toward the homestead that I discovered Mrs. Dunworthy had disappeared. She had not lain in her bed at the hotel, and no one had any idea where she might have gone. Her wagon and horse were missing. I rode as fast as I could, but I was too late. The posse had arrived just ahead of me. Quill, just a moment. Mrs. Dunworthy, have you or any of your men seen her?
It doesn't make any difference, Kendall. Legally, the owner needn't be here.
Mr. Quill, will you stop harping on the legal aspects of a hanging? You can't do this thing. I won't let you. Maybe Mrs. Dunworthy is giving up the land.
Well, we'll just move in on that jumper anyway, Kendall.
I want every last one of you men off my property. Right now. Now get.
Widow Dunworthy, it's your friend, Mr. Quill, the attorney.
Mr. Quill, I'm asking you to leave.
But what about the claim jumper? We rode a long way for him.
He's gone. I came back here this morning and he was gone.
Well, you'll remember me now, won't you, Mrs. Dunworthy? Anytime you have any legal problems,
I'll be obliged if you get off my
my property.
Yes, ma'am. All right. We're going.
Mr. Kendall.
Yes?
Would you come here, please?
Yes.
I'd like to thank you for trying to help me.
That's all right. There's something I want to know.
Yes.
Did you come back to kill him?
Yes.
But why? We'd have got rid of him for you.
Because I didn't want that kind of help. If it was to come to that, it was my fight.
And he was sick. He didn't deserve to be killed.
Mr. Kendall, I didn't tell you why my husband died. It was this land. A man never worked so hard, but it killed him. No, I just couldn't let a stranger have it, could I?
Where did you put his body?
I didn't kill him, Mr. Kendall.
You?
He's inside. He doesn't know it, but he's dying of fever. He told me it first came on him in the war.
Does he know you came back to kill him?
No. He was helpless when I found him. He thinks I came back because you told me he was sick. No. He doesn't know.
I stayed there 2 days. Almira Danworthy nursed him to the end, and he died, blessing her name.
Frontier Gentlemen was produced and directed by Anthony Ellis. Tonight's script was written by Tom Hanley and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Virginia Gregg, Eddie Firestone, Richard Perkins, and Charles Seal. Join us again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentleman. Bud Sewell speaking.
The Frontier Gentleman, on Tuned to Yesterday from October 5th, 1958 on CBS. It's an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. And now one of Hollywood's most versatile actors, Jimmy Stewart, stars as Britt Ponsett, the six-shooter. He was actually inducted into the Hall of Great Western Performers of the National Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum in 1972, mostly for his film work, and this radio series did contribute. We'll hear an episode next from October 11th, 1953 on NBC with co-stars Dan O'Herlihy, Jeanette Nolan, and Herb Vigran.
James Stewart as the Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter.
Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends.
We'll be turning in here, Michael.
Huh?
As long as they're going into town anyway, we can be seeing whether there might be anything Homer Dunfield's needing.
We got enough to do, Pa, just getting the things we need for ourselves.
Oh, now, what kind of a neighbor are you, Michael O'Hara? We'll turn in, I said.
Okay, okay.
That's one thing that you'll have to be learning. A man can't live by himself. And there's many a time Mr. Dunfield's done us a favor.
Yeah, sure, sure. Hold on. Ho, yes. Ho, 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 sir. Ho, 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 ho.
Mr. Dunfield, it's Sean O'Hara, Mr. Dunfield.
I don't see no sign of him. Maybe he's gone into town himself. Hold on.
Now, don't be in such a hurry now. The least we can do is... Mike, would you listen now?
Huh?
Them cows. There's something the matter with Mr. Dunfield's cows.
Reckon they're hungry, Paul. That's what it sounds like to me.
Ah, that's more than hunger that's troubling them animals. Come on, boy. Now, we'll have a look.
Oh, now, Paul, wait.
Michael.
All right. Like as not, Mr. Danfield ain't going to appreciate us butting into his affairs. He's always been able to run this farm without
look
any...
Look there, would you look? Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah, they've not been milked, that's what it is. The sun's in the middle of the sky and they've not been milked.
Yeah.
I knew there was something wrong here. I felt it the minute we pulled up in the yard, so I did.
Maybe Mr. Danfield's sick. Maybe that's it, huh?
Sure, and I hope that's all it is. But when I get one of these foreboding feelings, well... Mr. Dunfield.
Well, try it, Pa. See if it's locked.
Oh, no, I don't know. It doesn't seem right to enter another man's house when he's
not home. For his own sake, ain't it? Here. If he ain't home, we'll leave him a note explaining the way... Pa.
What is it, Mike?
Over there, across the room by the sofa.
Michael, that's Mr. Dunfield. Oh, he's been shot bad, real bad. But there's a spark of life left into him. Would you get the doctor, Michael, as fast as you can, and I'll stay here till you come back.
Yeah, sure, boss. Sure.
And the sheriff, too, the sheriff. You best bring the sheriff.
Yep, boss.
That poor Mr. Dunfield.
I'd expected to reach Pearl City before nightfall, but it looked like I'd been a mite optimistic. The sky had already lost most of its color, and I still had a good 15 miles to go, so I slowed Scar down to a walk. Easy, boy, easy. Oh, to hear it. I started looking around for a place to make camp. It didn't really much matter when I got to town. The spring roundups were sure to be over, and a day or two one way or the other wouldn't make any difference about my finding a summer job. Besides being out in the range for another night, I'd probably get a lot more sleep than I would in any of those hotel beds. Well, about a mile further on, I spotted a little flicker of light behind a couple of gray-green boulders. And when I rode up closer, I heard somebody singing and playing a guitar. It looked like I wasn't the only one in the range that night.
Howdy.
Wow, that sounds real pleasant. Mind if I use your fire for a spell?
You're more than welcome to it, mister. Climb down from your horse and make yourself at home.
Wow. Thanks very much.
I'm heating up some beans. Plenty for both of us.
Well, that's mighty considerate of you, but I've got some grub of my own here.
Well, there's no point in wasting it, is there? Like I said, I got more than enough here. That is, if you don't mind eating beans.
No, I reckon that's what I'm carrying, too. My name's Ponsett, Britt Ponsett.
Well, I'll be darned.
Huh?
I sure heard about you, Mr. Ponsett, and that gun of yours.
Yeah.
I'm Toby Yeager.
Oh, I'm pleased to meet you, Yeager.
Here, just let me get my guitar out of your way so you can sit down.
Oh, thanks. Hope I didn't interrupt your singing. That sounded real pretty.
That just sort of helped pass the time, especially when I'm alone.
Mm-hmm.
Care to try a tune, Mr. Ponson?
Oh, no, no. I'm afraid I'm not much of a singer. You just go right ahead.
Well, ain't anybody going to hear us, except a few coyotes, and they're not likely to be very critical. What do you say? Shall we give our vocal cords a little exercise while we're waiting for them beans to heat up?
Well, as I said...
Come on, I like that third verse. Oh, beat the drum slowly and play the fife lowly. Come on, Mr. Ponson.
Play the dead march as you carry me along.
Take me to the green valley where lay the sod o'er me. For I'm a young cowboy and know I done wrong.
George, sounds like we were mistaken about those coyotes. Did you hear?
It ain't one of their favorites.
Yeah, I guess so.
How about you providing some music now?
Oh, me?
Oh, yeah, hit the guitar.
No. I'm sorry. I just don't play at all.
Oh, come on. You're joshing me, Ponson.
No. I'm afraid I don't know the first thing about it.
Well, most any cowboy can get a tune out of a guitar.
Maybe so. But it just seems like I never had much of an ear for music.
You don't need no ear. Here, come on, let me show you.
Huh?
Now, you just watch my fingers.
Yeah?
You'll see there's nothing to it.
Well.
That's simple enough, ain't it?
Well,
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make the chords, and you do the strumming.
Now,
you go ahead. You go ahead and strum. Yes, you're doing fine.
Oh.
That's just fine.
The strumming part's a little easier than the chording, though.
Oh, it's all easy once you get the hang of it. Now, give me your left hand.
Oh, that?
Your left hand. I'll put your fingers where they belong for the first chord. See now? There. Okay, strum.
Well, let's see.
All right. Here's the next chord. See now? Here's the third one. There.
I'll be darned. Yeah, this is kind of fun.
Of course it is. Now you do them yourself.
What?
Those three chords I just taught you.
Oh, you mean you do them all alone?
Yeah, sure.
Well, No, this contraption just isn't for me.
Oh, you mustn't give up yet. A little more practice, you'd be a first-rate guitar player.
No, I was mighty flattering, Jaeger, but I think I'd better stick to my humming.
Well.
You go right ahead. Now, play some more. That tune you were trying to teach me, that sound real pretty.
You mean this one?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard that before, have I?
Oh, it's brand new. Folks back east are all singing it, but it ain't got this far west yet.
Oh, are you from the east?
No. Utah's my home. But I spent a couple of months in Chicago last winter. That's where I picked up this tune.
I say.
I sure didn't cotton to city life, Mr. Ponson. I headed back this way first chance I got. Been laying track for the Santa Fe.
That's all?
Line reaches Pearl City now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. But they had to stop there for a spell on account of some legal ruckus about the right of way. So I took my pay, bought myself that mare over yonder, and moseyed on. I don't know what it is about this song. Once you hear it, it just sort of sticks with you.
Yeah, it does.
Silver Threads Among the Gold. That's the title.
Darling, I am growing old. Silver threads among the gold shine upon my brow today. Life is fading fast away, but my darling, you will be always young and fair to me. Yes, my darling, you will be always young and fair to me. Oh, that's real nice, Jaeger. Oh, God. dee, dee, dee. Uh-oh. Oh, there they are again.
It's got some more verses, but that's the only one I can remember. Do you care to join in?
No, I think I bothered the coyotes enough for one evening.
Well, it looks like them beans are getting hot. Suppose we can interrupt our concert until after supper. Probably sound better on a full stomach anyhow.
Oh, I don't know, Jaeger. In my case, I reckon it wouldn't make much difference. Well, we had our fill of beans, and then Jaeger picked up his guitar again, did some more singing. What with the music and all, I felt kind of sleepy, so I spread out my bedroll. And the last thing I remember is hearing that guitar as I dropped off. The next morning after we had breakfast, Jaeger headed on south, and I swung north toward Pearl City. A couple hours later, I was riding past the farms just this side of town. I noticed a buggy and four or five horses pulled up in Homer Danfield's front yard. Homer had always lived alone ever since I could remember. He never had been much of a man for company either, so I turned off the road into the lane leading to the house. Sean O'Hara was sitting on the steps whittling. From the size of the pile of shavings at his feet, figured he'd been doing for quite a spell. Whoa! Whoa, Scar. Whoa. Oh, Sean.
Huh?
Hi. Don't you remember me? Britt Ponsett.
Oh, why, for goodness sake, Mr. Ponsett. I never had no idea you was in these parts. Lord, it feels a miracle you've come.
What are you talking about, Sean?
Oh, it's a terrible thing that's happened to Homer Danfield.
What?
Him lying in there right now, hovering between life and death, so he is.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that. He's pretty sick, huh?
He's been shot, Mr. Ponsett. A big hole right over his chest.
Is that so?
It was along about noontime yesterday when we found him, my son Michael and myself. Oh, that poor man.
Well, just what happened, Sean?
Well, now, if you ask me, it was a thief who done it. Sure, and from the looks of his house, somebody turned things every which way searching for valuables. And besides, anybody who knew Homer Danfield, anybody from around Pearl City, that is, they'd have no call to try to kill him. He was a well-liked man, Mr. Ponson.
Well, he sure was, yeah.
Uh-huh. The doctor's staying with him almost 24 hours now, and Sheriff Gentle, too. But you know, the poor Homer has not breathed a conscious breath during the whole day and the night that followed. Yeah, and like as not, he'll never be able to tell us just exactly what...
Oh, hello, Sheriff.
Huh? Oh, howdy, Britt. Where'd you come from?
Oh, just passed through on my way to town. And Sean's been telling me about Homer.
Uh-huh.
Has there been any improvement, Sheriff?
Well, I wouldn't exactly call it an improvement. He did come to for a couple of minutes.
Oh?
You don't say.
Yes, he told me what he could. But I'm afraid it won't do much good. The fellow broke in night before last, along about midnight. He was a stranger. Homer had never seen him before. And he didn't get a very good look at him either.
Well, he was trying to rob Mr. Danfield. Is that what happened?
Yeah, that's the way it was.
Uh-huh.
Homer heard him prowling around in the parlor and come downstairs. The fellow let fly with a slug, caught Homer right under the shoulder. He's lost a lot of blood. The doc thinks maybe one of his lungs is nicked, too.
Yeah, that sure is too bad.
Yeah. Well, not much I can do without a description and evidence.
Sure, no one. Couldn't he tell you anything at all about the man?
No, as far as Homer can recollect, he was medium height, medium build. That's about all. Except for the song he was singing.
The song?
Yeah. Homer didn't pass out right after he was shot, not entirely. He remembers hearing the fellow searching around and humming and singing to himself while he was at it. Something about silver and gold and getting old. Homer ain't too clear in his own mind, and well, as far as I can tell, it's a song I never heard before. You ever hear it, Sean?
No, it don't sound familiar to me, Sheriff.
What about you, Britt? Britt?
I've heard it, Sheriff.
Huh?
At least I've heard something mighty similar. Mighty similar. Well, I told Sheriff Gentle about running into Toby Jaeger and his guitar, about the tune Toby tried to teach me. Of course, that didn't prove that Jaeger had anything to do with shooting Homer Danfield, even though it was a new song. Well, like Toby said, it was popular back east, and there might be other folks who knew it out west, too. But Jaeger had been around Pearl City lately. He told me so himself. He was a medium-sized man and a stranger. So I gave the sheriff all the details.
Well, it sure ain't much to go on, but it's something. I reckon we better get started.
Hmm?
Tell you the truth, Britt, the doc don't figure Homer will last more than another day or two. And if we don't get this Jaeger fella back before he... Well, you're saying that he sung a certain song. That ain't going to convict him of murder.
No, of course not.
Well, let's go.
Well, you don't need me, Sheriff.
I need somebody to pick up this fella's trail and point him out to me, don't I?
Well, I could tell you.
Oh, we're just wasting time, Britt. If we're going after this man, let's get started.
All right, Sheriff. All right. It took us a couple hours to ride back to the place where Jaeger and I had camped for the night. When we'd split up, he said he was heading south, so the sheriff and I looked around for his trail that way. We didn't have too much trouble finding it. There was only one thing. He hadn't gone south, leastwise not for very long. As soon as he hit Little Creek, a mile or so from the camp, he turned west towards Saddle Mountain. We were able to make pretty good time the rest of the day, and that trail didn't look like he was in too much of a hurry, so I figured maybe we'd been gaining on him. We didn't stop for supper. We just kept right on going, and even after nightfall, there was enough moon so we could still make out his tracks. Well, about 9 o'clock, we were moving through the pass between Saddle Mountain and Porcupine Peak. We're getting pretty high up, too. Not very many trees, just a scrub pine every once in a while. Easy, scrub. Whoa. Here. Hold up a minute, Sheriff.
Huh?
I thought I heard something. No, I guess I was wrong. Or maybe the wind's changed. Here. No. There it is again. You hear it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he must be up there, right around that bend.
Think we better move in on foot?
Yeah, I rode up on him last night. He seemed tame enough.
Well, okay.
Well, where'd you walk?
Hello, Jaeger.
Why, Miss Ponce. Thought you was heading other way.
Yeah, I sort of changed my mind.
Come back for another guitar lesson, huh?
No, not exactly. Jaeger, this is Cleet Gentle from Pearl City.
Howdy, Mr. Gentle.
Howdy. You two never met up before, Jaeger, while you were working in Pearl City.
Huh? No, not that I recollect. Why?
Mr. Gentle's the sheriff there.
Sheriff?
That's right.
Well, I was only in town for a few days, and I was sort of on my good behavior. Leastwise, I never had no run-in with the law.
Yeah.
There's something I can do for you, gents?
Jaeger, a fellow was shot the other day. Shot and robbed. Farmer just outside of town.
Oh?
He didn't recognize the man who did it. He remembers one thing about him, though. A song he was singing.
Well, I reckon I ain't the only man that gives out with a song once in a while, am I?
No, but this particular song, well, it's the one you played for me last night.
I played a lot of songs for you last night, Mr. Ponce.
Silver Threads Among the Gold, that was the name of it.
Well?
You said it was a new tune, as I recall. You picked it up back east.
Did I?
Yeah.
Well, ain't you, kind of jump at the conclusions, Mr. Ponce?
Nobody's accusing you of anything, Jaeger.
Well, then just what is it you want?
I want you to come back to Pearl City with me. Let Homer Danfield take a good look at you, see if he can identify you.
Danfield?
Yeah, that's the man that was shot.
He's still alive, huh?
Do you think he was dead, Jaeger?
Oh, I didn't think nothing about it one way or the other.
How much money you got with you?
$40, $50.
Mind showing it to me?
Money looks all the same, don't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Here.
20, 30, 40, 45, 48. $48.
Well, that's what I said, about 50 bucks.
That's what Mr. Danfield had stolen from his china cabinet. About $50.
Well, money's mine. I was working for the Santa Fe. They just paid me off the other day.
You're wearing a gun, I see.
Well, so are you. So is Ponce.
I'll take it.
Sure. All right, Yeager. Let's go. You want to get started right now?
As soon as you're ready.
It'll take me a couple of minutes to get my pack together and my horse saddled.
Well, I'll give you a hand.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Ponson. Here. Would you mind fastening this onto the back of my saddle? I sure wouldn't want to go off and leave my guitar behind.
I'll take care of it for you. Well, we rode all night, the three of us. Nobody did much talking, but every once in a while, Yeager had let loose with some humming, some singing. He sure didn't seem very worried about what had happened when he came face to face with Danfield. I couldn't make up my mind. Maybe it was just that he had a clear conscience, or maybe he was putting up a good front for our benefit. Anyway, along about 6 o'clock in the morning, we were riding past the O'Hara farm. That meant we were almost there. Danfield's place would be next. Sean O'Hara came running out of the barn carrying a pail of milk. And when he saw us, he set the milk down and gave a holler.
Hey, Sheriff Denton, hold up a minute, Sheriff.
Hold on, hold there, hold.
Oh, hold Scar.
Morning, Sean.
Ah, aha. So you found the fella you were looking for, I take it.
Yeah, we found him.
Well, it's sure too bad you went to all this trouble.
Aye?
What do you mean?
Poor Mr. Danfield. He is no longer with us. No. He passed away a little before midnight last night. God rest his soul.
Oh.
Tell me, Sean, did he say anything more before he died?
No, Sheriff, not a word.
I see.
Well,
looks like you won't have no more use for me, Sheriff. You ain't going to prefer charges of murder just on account of a song I happen to sing to Ponset, are you?
Well.
Yeah, I guess he's right, Sheriff.
Yeah. All right, Yeager. Here's your money and your gun.
Thank you. Well, so long, gents. Come on, boy.
Yeager.
Yeah?
I don't know whether you had anything to do with this or not. I guess nobody will ever know for certain. Except you.
I guess that's so.
But you'll know it, Yeager. And if you did it all the rest of your life, you'll know it.
Is that all you wanted to tell me, Ponce?
That's all.
Well, so long.
What do you think, Britt? Did he do it?
Sheriff, I just don't know.
There's some coffee in the kitchen if you'd be liking a cup.
Thanks, Sean, but I'd better get in town.
Uh-huh. Hey, well, how about you, Mr. Ponce?
I reckon I could use a cup of coffee.
Well, I'll be seeing you.
Take it easy.
Sure. Sorry you had that ride for nothing, Britt.
No, it's all right. I guess I brought it on myself. So long.
The kitchen's door's around this way, Mr. Ponset. That sure was a shame about Homer Dunphy.
Yeah, it sure was.
Morning, Pa.
Oh, now it's about time you got up, young man. You remember Mr. Ponset, don't you?
Sure. Hi, Britt.
All right, just fine, Mike.
Hey, what are you doing with Toby Yeager? Is he a friend of yours?
No, not exactly. You know him, Mike?
Oh, well, he was working over on the railroad. We met a couple of times. Played poker over at Red Philpott's place.
Now, Michael, I told you, you can't afford to be losing your money.
I never lost, Pa. Not when Toby was in the game. Why, he's got the worst luck any man I ever played with. Take the other night. Railroad paid him off, and he lost every cent of it.
What night was that, Mike? Was that the night Homer Danfield was shot?
Well, come to think of it, I guess it was.
I see. All right, I think maybe I'll skip that coffee for the time being, Sean. Thanks anyway. Let you and me go into town, huh?
What for? Easy, Boone. Easy.
That $48 you're carrying, that isn't Santa Fe money.
What do you mean?
You lost your pay the other night in a poker game, all of it.
Oh?
Where'd you get the $48, Yeager?
What might be kind of hard to explain, Ponson.
It sure would.
Looks like you was wrong, don't it?
Huh?
Well, you said if I was a fellow who shot him, nobody'd know it, except me.
You shot him, huh?
Sure.
Well, then I was wrong. Maybe we'd better go back to Pearl City, huh?
Sure.
Six Shooter is a transcribed radio network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt and is written by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture, The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Ben Wright, Burt Holland, Will Wright, and Barney Phillips, who played Toby. The guitarist was Bob Bain. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.
The Six Shooter with Jimmy Stewart on Tuned 2 yesterday from October 11th, 1953 on NBC. And that wraps up this hour of Westerns on Tuned 2 yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for listening.